Thank you, everyone. What an incredible pledge and commitment Sunday, huh? Pretty incredible. That's amazing. Yeah, it deserves some applause, doesn't it? Well done, everyone. I've got limited time, so I'm going to jump right in. I hope that's okay. You may have noticed when you walk through the door that the name of our church is Vineyard. And you may be wondering what actually is the Vineyard. Why is it called the Vineyard? Why do we serve grape juice, not wine, that type of thing? And I just want to tell you, I can't tell you why we're called the Vineyard, but I can tell you one thing that you will find at any Vineyard church all over the world, and that is this. No matter what Vineyard church that you walk into, no matter if you're here in the States or you're overseas, no matter if the songs are in a different language or if the people might be older or might be younger, you'd find one thing, at least that's the hope, you'd find one thing, one thematic, unifying theological anchor. You'd find this one thing that sits at the heart of what it means to actually be the Vineyard, and it's simply this: the kingdom. The kingdom. So, we are in a series called Come Holy Spirit, and why we are talking about the kingdom is this: the Spirit is the one in the Trinity who brings the kingdom. That's why. And so this is as much about the kingdom as it is about the work of the Holy Spirit for today. And so let me just review what the kingdom is, and we're going to talk a little bit about how the kingdom breaks into the world this morning. And I will attempt to do this quickly, okay? All right, so what is the kingdom? The kingdom is simply this: the rule and reign of God. The rule and the reign of God. The kingdom, then, necessarily implies three different things. First thing that it implies is the where, right? A king has an area over which he rules. King Jesus rules over the universe, as we talked about last week. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Well, the king rules over a place, and that place is the whole earth. The king is also about a who. Obviously, or the kingdom is about a who. Obviously, the kingdom is about a king. You have a king and a kingdom, and that king is King Jesus. But you also have the people who live under the rule, who live animated by that rule. And rather than subjects, the Bible tells us that when you say yes to Jesus, you get transferred from the kingdom of darkness and into his kingdom, and you're not called loyal subjects or slaves, you are called sons and daughters. And you are called co-heirs, which means that you are vice regents, which means that rather than punish us with his rule, he lifts us up to rule with him. That's what vice regents mean. We become stunningly as Christ is himself, co-bringers of the light. We bring light into darkness. When we say yes to Jesus, we are filled with the Spirit. We become his sons and daughters. We are adopted into his family, and we become the embodied witnesses in the world through our lives and through our words and through our deeds, showing what that kingdom of God is like. And as for what that kingdom of God is like, the kingdom also implies a quality of rule. What is the king's rule like? You and I, fortunately or unfortunately, are disproportionately influenced by the quality and character of our leader, aren't we? Whether you work in a corporation and you have a CEO or you have a department head, you are influenced, you are affected by the leader or the ruler of your company, your school, or your country. Every king or leader imprints, whether they want to or not, their character onto their kingdom. Tyrants rule in a way that robs people of agency and strength. Leaders who are good and kindly treat their people kindly. Leaders who are greedy make the quality of their rule oppressive in, say, its taxation. The good news of Jesus is that his rule and reign is shalom. It's peace, it's mercy, it's grace, it's truth, It's life. It's equality. It's diversity. It's justice. That's the quality of his rule. It's the Spirit who brings the quality of his rule into the world today. And you could say, really, as I've been saying, that this series is really about what happens when the quality and character of the rule and reign of King Jesus breaks in today. And we want to talk about one specific way that his quality, the quality of his reign, breaks in today. What happens when King Jesus, the quality of his rule, breaks into the world today? Healing. And not just emotional healing, but physical healing. Physical, emotional, spiritual healing happens when the kingdom of God breaks into the now. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. If you've got your Bible, we'll read from verses 2 through 10. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord. Now, I hope what this passage makes you think of is actually John chapter 5. John chapter 5, when a lame man, an invalid, who was an invalid for over 38 years, was healed by Jesus at a pool called Bethesda. And I think what's actually happening here is a deliberate connection. So John chapter 5 is about a lame man who is being healed by Jesus, who picked up his mat and walked. And this here is about a lame beggar at the gate called Beautiful who stands up and walks. Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. What the good doctor is showing us, good Dr. Luke, who wrote this book, is he's showing us what happened in the time of Jesus happens in the time of the church. Two things that happen that are very, very similar. And this makes actually so much sense. And I want to explain that with a few different points. The first, why healing? Why is healing a sign of the kingdom breaking in? Number two, how does healing come? Number three, why doesn't everyone get healed? And number four, how do we pray for healing? And we've got a testimony today, and it's so good that I'm going to jumble all this stuff up so I can give her more time. Anyway, or I'll give her time at the end. Yeah, you will enjoy it. Trust me. Okay, so first of all, why healing? Why would healing figure so prominently in Jesus' ministry and in the ministry of the church as it was just getting established and in the ministry of the church today? Why would healing actually characterize the kingdom breaking in? Revelation 21 tells us why. Verse 3 and 4, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" Now, what is the Apostle John telling us? He's telling us about the kingdom, the fully consummated kingdom. When that happens at the end of time, there will be wholeness for every human being and for all of creation. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. In other words, there is no place for sickness. All will be made whole. Sickness, death, pain, sorrow, they're all swallowed up and eradicated in the new order because of Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection. So why does healing happen now? Well, because the future, where there's no sickness, is breaking into the present. Healing happens now. We as vice regents of the kingdom, we pray for healing for one another and people get healed. Why does that happen? Because the future kingdom in which there is no more sickness is breaking into the present. It's the natural result of the kingdom breaking into the world. This, by the way, is why Jesus heals everywhere he goes in the Gospels. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but if you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you see that Jesus, he is healing everywhere he goes. Everyone he talks to, almost every single person, he prays for healing for them. Rather, he commands it. Notice the interesting way that Peter and John actually pray for healing. They don't quite do it the way that I have been accustomed to doing it. They don't quite needle or plead. Have you ever done that? Prayed for somebody and been like, Lord, please heal this person. They are a good man or a good woman. They go to church most weeks. They even go twice a week sometimes. And as far as I know, they also seem to give, and they also don't seem to be like bad people. And so if anyone deserves healing, it's this person. You notice that Jesus doesn't pray that way, and neither did Peter and John. They don't pray that way because they are authoritative agents of the kingdom. They've got authority. They've got the Spirit of God in them, and they exercise that authority with command. That's how you exercise authority. Notice how there's no needling and complaining or pleading. There is more like, be healed. That ought to be instructive for us. We who have said yes to Jesus, who have been filled with his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to be embodied witnesses in the world, well, we pray as Peter prays. Jesus had quite an interesting way of praying for people's healing. He doesn't do it the way that we do. He doesn't say, well, if it's your will, God, would you please heal this person? You know, we oftentimes think, well, Jesus healed everywhere he went because he knew who God wanted to heal and who God didn't want to heal. Well, that's actually completely and totally wrongheaded. God wants to heal everybody. He wants every single person to be whole. Every single person will be whole at the end of time. It's either going to happen now or it'll happen later. And it's kind of inconvenient, isn't it, that doesn't all happen now, and I'll explain that here in a moment. But he doesn't pray, if it's your will, would you heal this person? And I want to tell you, please don't pray that way. God wants everyone to be healed. Just pray for everyone. Pray for everyone like Jesus prayed for everyone. If someone comes up to you and they're like, could you pray for me? I've got this pain in my neck. We'll speak to the neck the same way that Peter and John do. Silver and gold I don't have. And what little I have, I need it. So I'm going to pray something else for you instead. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Don't do that. Just do the thing where you're like, neck be healed in the name of Jesus. Neck be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, neck be healed. This is how he prayed. This will become relevant here in a moment because I'm going to talk about what's going to happen next week. Okay. One thing that I do want to say, it's the future breaking into the now. That's why we pray, while we pray for healing. I think that we forget that because we're just so maybe used to it, it's actually death that's unnatural. It's actually decay and decline that are alien and unright and untrue. Jürgen Moltmann once said this. He's a theologian. He said, Jesus' healings are not supernatural miracles in a natural world. They are the only true natural things in a world that is unnatural, demonized, and wounded. Jesus, what is Jesus doing? He's restoring Eden back into the world through his kingdom. Do you think there was sin and death and decline and brokenness in Eden when it was first created? Of course not. The door was open to all of that through Adam and Eve. The door was open to brokenness and evil, affecting all of creation, making it unnatural, demonized, and wounded. You could say that praying for healing is actually bringing the natural back into the unnatural. You could actually say it quite that way. And when we do it, of course, because we are all called to do it, it's not just Peter who's to pray, it's also us. We who have said yes to Jesus are to pray as Peter prayed. We pray for healing in the way that I just talked about. And that's not outlandish, because Jesus actually sent out his disciples to do this same very thing in Luke chapter 9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure all diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In other words, how do you proclaim the kingdom of God? Well, you do it with your words, but you also pray for the sick. So all of us who say yes to Jesus, all of us who have been filled with the Spirit, are not just to tell about Jesus, we're also to show about Jesus too. And so that means that every single person who comes up to you and tells you that they might be sick or they might not be feeling well, that's an opportunity to actually bring the future into the now. And that's the thing that you and I can do. Embodied witness, as we said last week. Not just telling people about Jesus, but showing people what the kingdom of God looks like. Which means that we are to pray for healing too. And we do pray for healing. We pray for healing every week. People get healed, and people don't. And before we hear from Caroline, I just want to talk very, very briefly about what happens when people don't get healed. Why doesn't everyone get healed when we pray for their healing? After all, if it's God's will that everyone is whole at the end of time and everyone receives healing, and if we're not to just kind of like wait and go, well, I think it's God's will to pray for this person or that person, and if God's will is that everyone would be healed, why, what happens when people don't get healed? What's going on? Well, remember, we've been talking quite a bit about victory and consummation. We've been talking about the delay between those two things. We've been saying that victory is assured through the cross and resurrection, but we've also been saying that it has not been consummated yet. So this is what we call in the Vineyard, or what George Eldon Ladd called, and we've borrowed it from him. Thank you, George. The now and not yet of the kingdom of God. So that we know that the kingdom is broken into the now, which means that everything that happened while Jesus was with us on earth could potentially happen right now, as we'll hear about here in a moment. But we also know that the kingdom is not fully here yet, don't we? There is still death. Most of you will probably die. I mean, Lazarus was raised to life, and then, well, he died again. Twice. The not yet is why not everyone we pray for gets healed. If everyone we pray for got healed, then we'd be in the fully realized kingdom of Jesus at the end of time. People still get sick. People still die because the kingdom of God has not yet fully been consummated. And of course, we talked about why there is a delay. 2 Peter very eloquently says, the Lord is patient with you. The reason for the delay is so that every single person can repent and turn and find the love of God for themselves. He's patient with us. He wants everyone to be saved. He doesn't damn anyone to hell. He wants everyone to be saved. And in a very similar way, he wants every single person to be free from death and sickness and to live in wholeness. But the problem is we live in a world that is between the promise of the thing coming and the fulfillment of it, now and not yet. This is the dynamic tension of the now and not yet that is the heart of the Vineyard. Tensions are really hard to maintain, by the way. We either want to go in one direction or in the other. In fact, whole denominations are built on theologies that are the now of the kingdom. And they're so now in the kingdom that when when healings fail to happen, they attribute those failures to lack of faith. You just didn't have enough faith. Or maybe you just didn't work hard enough, or you didn't fast enough. Man, let me just tell you, faith is a component of healing. I get it, but it's not a requirement. Can I tell you that? Many, many people who do not believe in Jesus have been miraculously healed. I also know people who've lived their whole lives in fiery devotion to God who have not been healed. No matter how much we prayed, no matter how much we fasted, they didn't get healed. Did God use that intervening time? Was God in that intervening time? Did he make the sickness, or did he make the lack of wholeness? Did he make the fact that the not yet was coming? Did he make that a time suffused with his love and purpose? Well, he did, yes, of course, because he makes all things beautiful in his time. But we live in the tension of the now and not yet. We want to maintain it. We also don't want to become the kind of church that leans too far into the not yet, where we have no expectation at all. My friend Adam Russell likes to say that those churches that lean so far into the not yet and do not have any expectation really for the miraculous, they don't see very much. My friend Adam likes to say that those churches produce really thirsty people. So we live in expectation and hope. Why hope? Well, we live in hope because everyone, the future of every single person who says yes to Jesus is healing and wholeness. But we live also in expectation, knowing that at any moment healing could happen now, and it does. I'd like to invite on stage Caroline. Could you come up on stage and share your story? Everyone, welcome Caroline on stage.
Thanks, Ted. Good afternoon, church. Hi. My name is Caroline, and my husband, Zach, and I have been coming to the Evanston Vineyard for about 2 years now. We first started coming in July of 2024 when we got married and moved to Evanston from our hometown, Kansas City. Immediately, Vineyard felt warm, felt genuine, and it was a good blend of the different Christian backgrounds that we both grew up in. So we knew that it was the church for us. Shortly after that, I also had the pleasure of joining the worship team as a singer, and now Zach and I come regularly on Sundays. So to provide some context to the testimony that I'm going to offer today, I have to tell you that I grew up in the Methodist Church, and the Methodist Church does not have as much of a focus as the Vineyard does on physical healing power from the Holy Spirit. So I will admit that this is something that I was skeptical of. And when I first moved to Chicago, I actually met a very faithful friend, Hannah. Hannah, can you wave? She's here today. Woo! And Hannah grew up in the Pentecostal church, which has a very heavy focus on the healing power of the Holy Spirit. And I was explaining to her about this long-term chronic back pain that I had been experiencing. And I remember her looking at me and asking me, do I believe if I can be healed? Nobody had ever asked me that question before, and I remember really sitting with that question, do I believe if I can be healed? And she gently encouraged me not to limit the power of the Almighty God. So come Good Friday service of last year, this would have been around April or March of 2025, Zach and I were attending the Good Friday service at Vineyard, and there was this call on stage to go and receive prayer if you felt like you needed physical healing and the Lord was nudging you to do that. And I definitely felt that nudge to go get prayer, but we actually had people, family members with us that would have also been skeptical of this physical healing power of the Holy Spirit, so I felt nervous, but I went anyway. And I'm really glad that I did, because it completely changed my life. So let's flash back to November of 2023. And this is when I actually herniated a disc in my lower back from overworking myself at the gym and pushing myself too hard to lift heavy weights that my body was not ready for. At that point in time, I did not have a healthy relationship with exercise. So this back injury was absolutely devastating. It meant that I could not do what I had put first in my life. Also, as a competitive athlete, I would like to think that my pain tolerance was pretty high, but this pain was about a 7 out of 10, 24 hours a day. It was sharp shooting down my leg and sciatica. I had numbness and tingling in my feet, and I also had a burning pain in my lower back. So come to find out that this herniation, and Connor, you can put that picture up on the screen now, was 9 millimeters into my sciatic nerve. That's exactly why I had that shooting pain down my leg. You can see the bulge there into the nerve. You can also see that you can't see the sciatic nerve. There should be a white triangle on that picture on the left, and it's completely trapped by the herniation. And I remember the doctor saying that they've never seen a herniation this large in a 22-year-old. And I also got a lot of different opinions from doctors, and they all agreed that because I was so young, that surgery should be a last resort option. And so we should try all the other natural healing methods. And they also all agreed that because this injury was so serious, that it would take around 3 years to heal naturally. That would be 3 years of chronic pain. And I remember being really angry when they told me that. And at that point in time, 3 years was almost 14% of my life, which felt like, you guys are laughing. It felt like a lot for a young person. So the journey to healing was very challenging, and it also required a ton of patience. I had multiple steroid injections in my back. I met with 4 different physical therapists. I completely restricted any high impact activity, so no pickleball with friends, no running by the lake shore in the summer. I had to take prescription and over-the-counter pain relievers for 1.5 years every single day. And I also had to structure my life around avoiding sitting down because that's what made the pain worse. And so come to this Good Friday service, this would have been a little bit over 1 year after the injury. God had absolutely used modern medicine to help heal my pain. I was maybe at a 3 or a 4 out of 10, but I definitely still had a lot of limitations on my daily life. And I was also just really tired of living with this chronic pain. And so during that service, when the man was praying over me, I just confessed to him that I had been dealing with this pain and I was so tired of carrying that burden. When we talked, I had this realization that God had used this time period to mend my heart. By removing the gym from my life, he recentered my focus on him, and he helped me truly see that I am made in his image. God had, unsurprisingly, used this injury for his good. And then, as if this heart healing wasn't gracious enough, as we proceeded to pray, the man placed his hand on my lower back, and I felt this sensation that I have never felt before. I had a warmth in my low back all the way down my right leg and into my foot where my injury was, and I truly believe in that moment that God and the Holy Spirit were using their power to heal me. I also started crying. I couldn't even control the tears. I think a part of it was just finally sharing that silent pain that I had been carrying with somebody and allowing them to pray over me and help me carry that burden. After that prayer, something really shifted in me. The pain was significantly less. My heart felt whole again. And so I thought it would be a good idea to get another MRI to have physical proof of this healing power. Even though I had fully believed that God had healed me through modern medicine and through prayer, I wanted that proof. So you can now show the next image. So sure enough, the MRI results came back and the disc herniation was completely gone, like literally disappeared. It literally never gets old looking at this picture. I just get overfilled with joy. So I don't know if you can tell, but there's no longer anything protruding into the sciatic nerve, and you can actually see the full triangle of the sciatic nerve. Nothing's touching it. It truly is. It's a miracle. And I remember the doctor looking at these images and he asked me if I had some sort of like magic fairy that like helped me with my back, because they almost never see this happen. Typically what would happen is that herniation would calcify into the nerve and your body would just get used to that feeling, but it had just literally disappeared. And so I remember responding to him and saying something like, prayer is really, really powerful. So I just feel incredibly undeserving, but blessed and overjoyed to have experienced physical healing from God through medicine and through prayer. There are so many things that I don't take for granted anymore. What a privilege it is to live pain-free. What a privilege it is to move my body with my friends and my family. And what a privilege it is to be given a body from God, made in the image of God. So ultimately, I encourage each of you, don't doubt the Lord and what he can do for your life. He is so gracious. He desires to free us from our physical pain, and he can turn any pain into something good for his glory. Amen. Thanks, Ted.
Thank you, Caroline. Only a few other things to say. Really, how can you top that? So thank you again, Caroline. Caroline is isn't she wonderful? Great speaker. Thank you, Caroline. Let me just open my calendar and see about some open preaching dates here for you, Caroline. How's May 3rd? Okay, so I want to ask us to kind of hold all of this in, I guess, if we can, in our mental space and in our hearts, like the now and the not yet. We live in expectation, and we also live in hope. And I also want to say, I know that hearing that story is going to make you want to respond in a way today, and that's fine, and we'll pray for you in a moment. But because of expectation, however, I just want to say this. We are bringing a special guest, an Evanston Vineyard alum, a guy called Jordan Tseng, next week for what we are calling a special healing service, okay? So essentially what we're doing is we're taking this Sunday and we're almost totally and exclusively devoting it to praying for the sick, okay? So we'll have worship, we'll have communion, and then Jordan will speak for just a few moments, and then we'll all start praying for one another. He'll pray. We'll also pray as well. Remember, we're all vice regents. Jordan is not the only one. He's not just the only anointed one. We have all been given the Spirit. We can all pray for healing, so we'll all participate in that, and Jordan will give us instructions. If you want to get a head start on some of that, though, night of worship and ministry we're doing on Friday. So we're going to worship a bit, and then Jordan's going to lead us in some ministry. And then Saturday in the morning from 9 to 12, we have a prayer team training. So the folks that are over here that will end up praying for you at the end of the service, there's a special training for them. Jordan's going to do a training here in this room on Saturday from 9 to 12. So if you're part of that team, obviously you already know about it. But if you're not part of that team, why not come? If you've been learning or you want to learn how to pray or you want to find out more, you want to hear Jordan, it's a great time. The reason why we're doing it in this room and not in a smaller room is because we just want to invite everybody. If you want to come, come. Please do. You'll probably get some prayer at that point, too. You get a little bit of a head start. And then on Sunday for our healing service, this is the only thing that I want you to hear. Please bring your friends. Bring your family. Bring people who don't know Jesus. Bring people who do know Jesus. Just bring any and everyone. We want to pray for as many people as we can. Okay? All right. Let's all stand. That's next Sunday. Next Sunday, Jordan Tseng, next Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, coming in. It'll be just a great experience. Hope that you all can make it. Now let's all pray for a moment. I'm going to pray for a fresh filling of the Spirit. And then I also want to invite you, if you've come and you're like, I can't wait a week. I need prayer for healing today. We have teams over here that would love to pray for you. And we will do that. All right. So come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us with your power, afresh, anew. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us the courage to be vice regents, to be co-bringers of light. Fill us with faith, not because faith is a magic potion, because faith has an object, and that object is you. You make all things new. You bring the kingdom through the Spirit and through us. Would you come and fill us and give us faith in you, that you might do all that you want to do through us? And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.